He wasn't answering because it says unknown.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
We got you?
Yep, you got me now, yeah.
All right, so he was saying unknown. You didn't know that was us. I get it.
Right.
All right, so praise God. Watch your radio back with John Ramirez live. And, John, it's been a while since you've been on Watch Your Radio. I don't know, 5 years, huh?
It's been a long while, but, you know, we're back, and we want to introduce the people that are listening. We want to introduce them to a new opportunity that God's given us to bring Watch Your Radio up and running for deliverance, also for teachings and powerful training. And also, on top of that, I think that somewhere down the line, the Lord, his timing, we will have our ministry. We will have ministry together in person. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And amen. You helped out a lot in the Huntington location here in Long Island. We thank you for that. All that help showing up.
Amen. It was good.
Yeah, some great meetings we had. Great deliverances. So you've been all over the world. All over. COVID didn't stop you at all. You know.
Oh no, my brother! I was doing illegal church, doing the work of the Lord. I didn't let the COVID-19 or the hogwash and the pharaohs stop me from doing Jesus. Amen.
Praise God! You know, and one thing about JR, he's always on the front line, and he does not stop even in the midst of a plague.
Amen. We got to work. I mean, listen, I would say. And you have people, you have churches in India, precious brothers and sisters that are being watched, even tortured, tormented, even put to death. Underground church in China, same thing. In hostile places, same thing. Why should we take the easy road? Why should we let the pharaohs of governors and politicians tell us what to do? Last time I checked,
right.
The only God that I know is Jesus Christ. He sits on the throne. He tells me to do something. I'm going to obey him. Like Peter and John said, right? You know, should we obey God or should we obey man? I'm going to obey God. And I know pastors out there play this safe. They did the safe thing. Oh, we're going to stay home. We're going to listen to the guidelines. And if you did that, that's between you and God. But I'm going to do Jesus in good times and in tough times.
Amen. And, I saw on your wall some powerful deliverances you've been engaged in. I'm just curious, after all the years, I guess me and you have been working together for, almost, I guess, over a decade, right?
Amen, yep.
God has moved very strong in almost every meeting we've ever worked together in. Brother Allen's also on the line with us. Hey, Brother Allen, do you hear us?
Yes, I hear you both. Good to see you again, John.
God bless you, brother. How are you?
Things are great. How are you?
John, I noticed the deliverance anointing is just increasing around you where, you know, are deliverances you're seeing, are they becoming easier?
Well, I mean, it's a fight. God's going to bring the anointing to the level he needs to bring it. It's God's anointing. It's Holy Spirit that's doing it. God's going to bring it to the level that he needs to bring it to set the captives free. I believe in my heart that every region, every place God sends you is different. From the other, but you know, God is God no matter where he go.
Right. It's just always nice when it's
God. Yeah. I'm trusting God in every fight. I'm trusting the Lord in every circumstance. I'm trusting the Lord in every place he sends me that his will be done, not the devil's. God's will be done.
Right. And deliverance is few and far between, and you're also demonstrating that and teaching how God moves in that. And that style, that particular anointing is so important.
Well, you know, I believe in my heart that, you know, God has anointed us to do the work of the Lord here on the land of the living. And God has called us to give us a mandate. He gave us a mandate. He gave us an opportunity to represent the real church. The real church. I'm talking about the real church. I'm not talking about the Kool-Aid, the New Age church. I'm talking about the real church that is, you know, many churches out there, you know that, Rich. They love talking about the devil, but they don't confront the enemy. And that's what deliverance is about. Deliverance is about confronting the enemy, confronting the bondage, confronting the stronghold, controlling, stepping up to the plate, and facing the generation of curses, helping brothers and sisters to be set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're not here. I mean, churches ain't casting out devil, and then you're not doing Jesus' work.
Right. And with that comes some, and we know this, me and you, from experience. Sometimes backlash does come, right? I mean, sometimes.
I got backlash today. I mean, I got backlash today. You know what I mean? Backlash, it's part of the territory, and you have to take, you know, you have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you have to deal with the backlash. I get backlash today in my personal life, heavy backlash, retaliation. Today, I did a Q&A for my inner circle, John Ramirez inner circle, Facebook, private Facebook. As soon as I got off, I got backlash.
Wow.
You know, during the day, I had backlash. You know, it's just something that you learn how to deal with, something that you learn how to live with, right? Not that you make peace with it, because I don't make peace with the devil, but I learned how to live with it. I learned how to wait on God to give me the victory over the backlash, retaliation, revenge spirit, retribution devils, reinforcement devils. God will give me the victory over that situation as well. Amen. And I believe in my heart today was the day. Today was my day. Was full of backlash today. I came back from California from preaching. I was so tired when I came back that I came to my apartment. I had my handful with my mail that came in, and I left. I said, let me take the mail, put it in the apartment. I just put it, got distracted. I did some chicken soup because I felt I was a little under the weather. So I had some chicken soup. I had some orange juice or whatever. Wow. I had some chicken soup. I was under the weather a little bit, tired. And I left my suitcase right outside my door. Forgot all about them. I just saw them this morning. That's how exhausted I was, you know. But, you know, and then this morning, you know, backlash showed up. You know, backlash. Not my suitcase outside. Just backlash with people. And that's part of the territory of being a deliverance minister.
Yeah, I mean, we've had our share over the years, me and you. And it also can come in the form of, slanderous, backbiting, gossiping talebearers, too. Over the years, we've seen a lot of that.
You know, the commission that God gave the disciples, you know, in the end of Mark chapter 16, he said, and these signs will follow those who believe in the name, right? That they will cast out demons, right? That's the commission.
That's right.
Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongue. They will take up serpents, right? That means attacks. They will take up the attacks. There are people that take serpents literally. Yeah. I'm not into that game. You know, people grab serpents. I don't think that's what God was talking about. I don't think God told you go to pet shop and buy snakes and play around with them. Serpents mean satanic, demonic attacks, spiritual attacks. Take up, and if you drink any deadly poison, that's for missionaries out there. You know,
right?
And by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's the commission. That's the commission God gave the church. So we doing it. Rich is doing it. I'm doing it. You know, churches want to have like a Sunday party every Sunday, a feel good party, and that's not going to cast out devils. That's not going to heal the sick. That's not going to fight the good fight of faith in the realms of the spirit. It's not.
No, and I guess that's, you know, it's kind of a shunned ministry, where it's kind of like they don't want to talk about it too much. And a lot of people don't even believe in deliverance ministry, but it's
well,
so
you know,
important.
I mean, well, you can believe, you can be neutral, right? I guess that's what they call it, neutral. You can stand in the middle of the highway, but you're going to get hit by the car either direction. So
right.
You can be neutral. Stand in the middle of the highway, you're still going to get run over. So it just basically, you can say, I'm neutral. I don't have to fight the enemy. I don't have to do spiritual warfare. I'm neutral. God didn't call me to do this. Well, God didn't call me to do a lot of things, but I do them anyway because God told me to do them, right? God didn't call me. I mean, I'm not a prostitute. I'm not a junkie, and God called me to speak to junkies and prostitutes. So I don't have to be a junkie or prostitute to speak to them. God called me to speak to them too. And I'm saying with that, God called us to do all things for the kingdom, and deliverance, and laying of the hands, and casting out infirmity devil, so people can recover. And casting out demons so people don't have to be tormented. That's what God called us to do, is in Mark chapter 16. You can read it.
That's right.
It's the Word of God. It's today, the Word of God for yesterday, today, and forevermore. God will not change, and His Word will not change, because God is the Word, right? So I don't know why the church at large is not embracing Mark chapter 16. By these signs, He said, by these signs, you will know that you're my church. By these signs, you will know that you have the Holy Spirit. By these signs, the enemy will know that I have called you to destroy the works of darkness. By these signs. And He named the signs.
That's right. And you can't deny either one of them. They all have to work together. And
yeah, it's all there. It's all, and they all complement each other.
You know, JR, now that you mention it, also part of the preaching of the gospel requires repentance too, doesn't it?
Well, preaching gospel is the gospel is a gospel of repentance. I mean, it's repentance, forgiveness, repentance, making peace with God. That's the gospel. That's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, you can't be a follower of Jesus if there's no repentance, if there's no forgiveness of sin. You can't. I mean, because if you take that away, basically all you're going to have is just religion without Jesus.
Yeah, as much as the deliverance ministry is shunned by many, so is the preaching of repentance and pointing out that how important it is to turn away from sin, which is actually the root of the beginning of the deliverance ministry, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, of course. I mean, but, you know, people don't want to, again, people, they I don't know, I guess they want this kind of Jesus, or they want this kind of gospel that doesn't convict. It doesn't convict people.
Right.
It doesn't transform people, because the gospel is about transformation, leaving the world of the flesh to
That's
come
right.
into the spirit world and being one with God, being in union with God, being in communion with God. You know, that's what the gospel is about. But you know, there's people out there that just think that the gospel should be a feel good message. Happy message. You know,
everybody's
the gospel,
happy.
Right. Everyone's happy. You know, everybody's happy, and everyone is happy, and the situation happens that no one gets convicted, but no one gets God doesn't chastise nobody, and no one gets godly correction.
That's right, guys. Yeah, I mean, John preaches the whole message. Renunciation, repentance. Me and John have done many deliverances together, and we did one at my house once. And one time, the person just couldn't even forgive themselves. Unforgiveness and resentment are also a big doorway, right, John? For spirits,
a big doorway. Yeah, I mean, there's people that God has forgiven them, and unfortunately, good brothers and sisters, and I've seen them. I've been in many altar calls. God has forgiven them. God's mercy is unexplainable. God's grace is unexplainable. God's forgiveness is unexplainable, right? But God has forgiven them. But they've been beating themselves up for years, not forgiving themselves, and moving on. And unfortunately, the devil has capitalized on that, the devil has seized that moment on believers' lives to torment them to the point that, about them guilt and shame,
right,
of unforgiveness to themselves. It's a sad thing to see that God is big enough to forgive any sin, but you can't forgive yourself and let go.
That's right, guys. Forgiving ourselves, even from things that we're hard on ourselves about, is a big doorway for the enemy. We're in the Lord, people. We're grafted into a great kingdom. There should be no regrets here. And forgiving ourselves for any faults or failures over the years, just let it go. That's another big doorway for the enemy to step into your lives. And needs to be taught more.
I think that the struggle is that people don't think they're good enough. I mean, it's not about being good enough, it's not about being good enough. None of us are going to be good enough. Christ does it for us. And I think we need to come to a place of understanding that God's mercy, His grace, and His love and his forgiveness, it's something that is so supernatural that but easy to understand, to receive it. That's the point. The receiving part is where the struggle is at. The receiving part. People struggle with the receiving part. It's like people can have faith about for you, right? People right. can have faith and say, oh, brother, you're going to get blessed. Brother, you're going to get healed. Brother, you're going to get your breakthrough. Brother, just let go. They can do it. They can, and they mean it. They mean well. But when it comes to them, when it comes to them believing for themselves, yeah. that's when they get beat up by the enemy. They get tormented by the devil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and none of us are perfect, you know? I mean...
Yeah, but, you know, no one is perfect in Christ, and there's something that we have to be careful how we say that, too, because and then people think, well, you know, this is a license for me to sin.
Oh, no.
This is a license for me to do whatever I want. What I mean, we're not perfect in Christ, meaning that God knows that we are going from time to time, we are going to fall short. God knows that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
also,
yeah.
you know, we have to be, on the other side of the spectrum, we have to be genuine Christians to live the genuine life that God called us to live. And that's the part right there that you know, we need to understand if you're a genuine believer, God will see you through your valleys, and he will see you through your mountaintops.
Well, that's a good word. I mean, that statement I even made can be taken out of context where...
Yeah, because then people say, well, you know, every time they sin, they go into this whole dilemma, oh, I'm not perfect. God knows. I'm human.
Right.
You know, I'm human.
The grace
I'm not perfect.
Grace,
God
yeah.
knows. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
and then that becomes, then you take the grace of God, and really you take advantage of the grace of
Turn
God.
Turn it into lasciviousness.
And there's nothing that we as believers should take advantage of. We shouldn't take advantage of anything that God give us and blesses us with.
Oh, yeah. I remember Pastor Dave Wilkerson used to talk about that all the time, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. He actually, that was actually the name of the message. What a powerful message. I don't think you would hear too much messages like that today, right, J.R.?
Oh,
he preached a hard word every now and then.
Yeah, those messages are long gone. We don't hear many pastors today. Even today in Times Square Church, we don't hear those messages anymore. And again, I love Tim DeLina, Pastor Carter, I love. But, you know, today, if you look at the big picture, even the big picture Times Square Church, you know, I'm not saying that they preach a false gospel, because they don't preach a false gospel. They preach the truth of Jesus Christ all the time. But they don't preach those messages that, you know, bring that the Holy Spirit fire to bring conviction.
Right. Conviction.
And the word, the way David Wilkerson would preach it, it would make you uncomfortable to check yourself.
Oh, yeah. I've been in many of those messages.
Yeah.
That,
you know,
holiness,
I mean, I sat for years I sat under that word of David Wilkerson, and really, you know, it did a number on me in many ways in one, and I thank God for that. You know, was it easy at times to sit there and listen to them? No, but you know what? I'm grateful and thankful that I was under those messages, because they preached a place of truth.
All right,
truth
he ministered holiness, yeah. And a lot of people didn't want to hear it. You know, I've seen people walk out of their... you know, during those, when he would preach a fiery message like that, a lot of people would get convicted. And a lot of that type preaching, like just what you was touching on earlier, JR, I know you don't hold nothing back, but I'm just saying the majority today it's definitely an imbalance.
Well, you know, I think today that people are afraid of, I guess they think that the gospel is offense. Right, they think, you know, we don't want to preach because now the gospel is an offense. You know, when you challenge people to really look at the word of God is a mirror to reflect how far we are from the Lord in our walk, or what we need, areas in our life that, you know, there's unsurrendered areas in our life that we need to deal with, and we've been sugarcoating it, and we've been making excuses for it. And I think that when And the word of God is a hammer. you know, it brings conviction to the areas, those areas in your life that God doesn't want you to live that way, or God doesn't want those things in your life that would take you away from His best.
Right. Oh yeah. So you came up from a good upbringing out of that church. Get it?
Yeah. You know, I so to me, the gospel, the conviction of the gospel is really what keeps you in the race. What keeps you going and getting closer to God. The closer you get to God, the more I believe the closer you want to get to God, the more the opposition with the enemy, but the more you grow and you grow and you mature and you become that inner man, the inner man, your spiritual inner man. You become so sensitive in the spirit. You become so much in tune with God, one with God. You know, I would say one with God, communion with God. You know, I was teaching my inner circuit today, one with God, communion with God. I was also saying one with God, communion with God, closeness to God, a personal bond with God.
Right. Yeah, inner circle is powerful. Some of the people in our prayer room are actually in your inner circle.
Yeah, I love it. I love the inner circle, man. I think that's like one of my... I love my e-course. My e-course is amazing. I'm doing a season 3 in January for the e-course.
Awesome.
Season 3. It's going to be powerful. It's going to go deeper into the spirit realm, deeper into the devil's camp, deeper into exposing the tactics and the patterns and cycles of the repeat of the enemy, the pitfalls of the enemy, how he entrapped Christians, how the enemy entrapped Christians. And there's a person that was on fire, and I'm going to teach on that. How could this person be on fire, and now he's no longer a Christian? Or how the enemy neutralized this person and brings him to a person that was so on fire, and now he's no longer a believer?
Right.
You see, I'm going to teach people how to fight that, because in the end times, when we come close to the end, many Christians are going to leave. The Bible said they're going to leave the faith.
Wow.
So how do you keep people in the faith? How do you keep people in the presence of God? When these demons show up, when these devils show up, how do you teach these people how to hold on to the faith, guard your faith, Bible says,
right,
with fear and trembling, guard your faith? So how do you teach, how do you train, how do you equip the saints? There's many pastors that I can name, famous pastors, that had amazing, I mean, make my ministry look like kindergarten, and they lost everything because they didn't know how to fight those demons. Those particular set of demons that come come to kill, steal, and destroy. How do you fight those demons, and how do you guard your faith? How do you protect the faith? How do you protect what God entrusted you with? And season 3 of Spiritual Warfare, I'm going to train people how, when those demons, there's this particular group of demons that come for that assignment. They are assigned to that particular destruction. They're assigned to the spiritual destruction in your life. How do you keep these devils in their place or out of the way, and not to come like piranhas to eat up your ministry?
Wow.
So how do they come as spiritual piranhas to eat up your ministry, and they leave nothing behind after they eat up your ministry? And we can name names of precious pastors and leaders. Carson Pilsen, you know his story. He got hit so hard with it that he's preaching a gospel that is like no one goes to hell. Our brother Eddie Long, you know, wonderful, wonderful church, Eddie Long. We have many other people that these particular set of demons, there's a sector of these demons, when they are released upon your ministry, released upon you, that's what their assignment is, to not only to turn off your flame or your torch, but to eat your ministry up like piranhas.
So, JR, you're essentially saying it also leads them into a strange doctrine, right? It's
no, not even to strange doctrine, like
no hell thing. That would be
right. You got Carson. I can't remember if I'm pronouncing his name right. Carson Pilsen. A powerful man of God in his time when he was right with God. I mean, this man was amazing. You know, amazing preacher, amazing evangelist, amazing pastor, amazing worshiper, amazing everything. He was a protege of Oral Roberts, or Oral Roberts, protege. Wow. I mean, he was the face of Scooby. He was the face of TBN at one time. You know, I mean, he led Azusa Street revivals. How you leave Azusa Street revivals, and then you're in a place now that your church is, it's you have a church of 4,000 or 5,000 people, and your church is full of people that there's no repentance.
Oh my God!
There's no repentance. There's no repentance because you're teaching a doctrine that is an exclusion gospel that no one goes to hell. That you can live the way you want to live. God knows, God understands, and God's not going to judge you. You know, how do you go from Azusa Street revivals? He had a church. He had a mega church. I believe one time one of his testimony was they shot him 5 times from close range, and the bullets fell off him. They didn't even penetrate him.
Wow.
God protected him. From close range, he got shot 5 times, and the bullets bounced off him. How you go from that to being a pastor of a church that every person in that church is going to hell? How you go from that to that? Those are the demons that come for you. They're like piranhas. They come for you, and they leave nothing behind. Yeah. You know, they're like locusts. They're like locusts. They come, and they devour everything that God entrusted you with, and you're left with nothing. And then you start your own man-made religion. And that's, in season 3, I want to teach on that and teach brothers and sisters that in the end time, you need to protect and guard your salvation because of these demons.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you're right. How could you go from that and go and fall so far from the basic foundation of the faith? That's
all right.
You're right, J.R. We got to guard ourselves.
Yeah, you know, and this is the stuff that people don't understand the things. If you don't understand the things of the Spirit, you don't understand the things of the kingdom of Jesus, and understand the things of the kingdom of the enemy, then you will let the enemy in, because the enemy is not going to come full force. These demons will dress themselves and masquerade themselves as an angel of light. They masquerade themselves. And then once they're in your house, they masquerade themselves. And then once they're in your house, and then they turn themselves, you see the real colors of who they are, but it's too late.
Well, you're covering all that. You're in a circle. You're teaching. And one thing about JR over the years, he maintains. He doesn't fall into any weird doctrines. Isn't that awesome? And that's hard to say for a lot of teachers today.
Well, you know, I think I believe in my heart is something that, you know, we have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to keep us, right? This is something that I can't do on my own. I think as the Holy Spirit, you know, not that I don't, my heart breaks for brothers and sisters that have fallen to the side. My heart breaks because, you know, they're still brothers and sisters, you know?
Yeah.
They're still family, you know? I mean, if you have a family that's sick in the hospital, won't you be sad? Won't you be hurt? Your heart be hurt? If my mom was sick in the hospital, you know, I'd be heartbroken, right? My sister was sick in the hospital, right? Before she passed away on December 31st, right? I was heartbroken.
Right.
You know, then my sister was sick in 2020. My sister passed away. My heart was heartbroken. It's my sister, right? So,
yeah.
Same thing, if my spiritual brother and my spiritual sister were in some condition that this would happen to them, my heart breaks because, you know, we're family. We're spiritual family. I'm not going to rejoice in some mocking and stuff. Saying, look what happened to this guy, good for him or whatever.
No,
of course not. You can't. You know, that's not God behind that.
That's not the Lord at all. That's we should be praying. Yeah,
yeah, we should pray for those. The Bible says that we restore those gently. Pray for those, you know, that are weak. Pray for those. I mean, because no one is exempt from these kind of attacks. No one. I'm not exempt. You're not exempt. No one is exempt. That can happen to any of us.
Oh yeah.
Right. So we have to pray and seek the Lord. We have to pray and trust God. We have to pray and ask God to help us to be vigilant and sober-minded at all times. And walking with God, my key to walk with God, I've been walking with God for 21 years now, and I think my key to walk with the Lord is not success. It's being humble and fear God, and also walking with God one day at a time. and making an assessment of my one day with God. And then, amen, because if I try to put everything all in one day, man, I think I snap. I think I go crazy. So I do the one day thing with Jesus every day when He wakes me up.
Well, JR, it's, you know, we've learned a lot over the years, for sure. You know, and the 10 years me and you've been working together, we now are compiling a. You want to touch on what we're working on?
Yeah, I mean, just a few minutes that we got left. I think we're doing amazing things. Rich and I are getting together. We're doing a self-deliverance manual. We're putting it together. It'll be out by the fall. God willing, in Jesus' name. But it's going to be very unique, very powerful. It's going to be self-published. His ministry and my ministry are coming together to put it together. And the details of it, we're not going to get into it, but it's going to have so much powerful deliverance and renunciations. And breaking, destroying, and dismantling, uprooting things in your life, that you'll be able to sit there in your devotional time, you'll be able to sit there when God tells you to sit and really destroy the works of the enemy in your life, right? Because it's by the Holy Spirit. It's not by a pastor. It's not by the John Ramirez that does it for you. We don't have strength. We don't have spiritual strength. We're not the Holy Spirit. But by the Holy Spirit, these things come off you, right? So we're putting a deliverance manual that we're going to put out there. We're going to self-publish. That it's going to be something that really is going to be very powerful, very, very different than any other product. And I don't know if I'm using the right word, any other product, right, material that is out there that's going to be a blessing to many believers around the world.
Yeah, look for that. There's a lot of years of experience being put into that. The mass deliverance profile that we use in the meetings that me and John have done together, which John will tell you, I've been pretty lit up. And one thing about me and John,
one thing I want to say to people, the stuff that we put together, it works, because you and I have done from the Hilton,
right,
from the Marriott Hotel in Manhattan, from to Long Island. We've done powerful deliverance ministry under this anointing that God put on us, and under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And we've done this kind of a deliverance manual, some around those lines. And now we're going to make it stronger and more powerful for people to have in their own house. Because in the last days, we don't even know right now. We don't even have pastors doing deliverances. Maybe pastors want to get it and trust the Holy Spirit to do deliverance for your church. Whatever direction Holy Spirit wants to take this, and we know that we've done it. You and I together, we minister together many hundreds of times. We've done it, and we've seen many people completely be set free. So something that we're putting out there that really, we know that it's going to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen.
Absolutely, I'm excited about it, and. Me and John will be doing Strike the Head of the Serpent again, I believe, real soon. Maybe even in Florida. Who knows?
Yeah, whatever God wants, we're going to put some stuff together. And we want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. We want to bring the true gospel. We want to bring not only the true gospel, we want not only people get saved, but we want people to be set free. Amen. I think we want people to be set free, and we want people to live the life that God has for them. Amen. Because if you live in the life God has for you, man, I rejoice for your victory. And so is Richard.
Amen. Well, I'll
amen.
Tell you.
So we'll, yeah, that's where we leave it there. So we ain't gonna say any more than that. We're just gonna trust God. And the whole situation that God's going to bring that manual, that spiritual warfare / self-deliverance manual. It's going to be out there by the fall.
It's going to be powerful, folks. JohnRamirez.org. John, you were on Watchman Radio over 10 years ago. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago, and we're still doing it. And we got new doors, new platform, new opportunities. God's going to give us to work together. And bring the deliverance ministry to the forefront. Continue to bring it to the forefront.
I want to thank you for coming on for the relaunch. We're getting back up and running. We'll work all these bugs out, and we hope to have you on real soon.
We also want to let people know If you haven't taken my e-course, the Spiritual Warfare Bootcamp, Special Ops, go to my website, take it. 16 weeks of spiritual warfare training is up there. You can go to my website. You can go to johnramirez.org and put that in your arsenal, man. Put that in your spirit. Put that in your home. Put that in your family. Put that in your in who you are in Christ, amen?
Amen.
Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal; they're strong, mighty in Jesus Christ. And we need to sharpen up our weapons, amen. And hundreds of people have taken the e-course. I have unbelievers have taken the e-course. Unbelievers have taken wow. the e-course. You know, which is touching. I have people, and I said it's a lot of love. I have people that were struggling with homosexuality. You know, still stuck in getting set free. Take the e-course. You know, I'm talking to them myself personally.
Wow.
Taking the e-course, fighting the good fight. So this e-course has been so handpicked by God. And touch so many people that I've been very, very, very blown away what God can do. So it's there. Sign up for it. Be part of something special. And let the Holy Spirit really equip you and make you armed and dangerous for Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
That's
Amen.
Right. Hey, Alan, you got you're like a church mouse over there. You have a question for Brother JR?
I can't think of one right now, but maybe I'll have one in 30
you
seconds.
You had all that time
John,
to think, huh?
All I was
John is leaving
yeah.
in
2 minutes. Sad.
John is leaving in 2 minutes. You can hold on to your question.
Actually, you know what? I got a question. If
you
someone
got a question?
Gets wounded real badly, what would you ask them to do? Because, I mean, there's verses like where God says, I make peace and I create evil, I wound and I heal. You know, that gets me thinking that, you know, Joseph got thrown into a pit. He got lied about and sent into prison, thrown into a pit, and eventually he got up to the right hand of Pharaoh. Is that the kind of what do you think Joseph did after being thrown into the pit and sold into slavery and to get him out to the right hand of Pharaoh, to get him out of the wound?
You know, I mean, we know Joseph in the beginning, he didn't understand the process. I think a lot of people that go through the process of the walk of God, we don't understand it. I don't understand it, but Joseph right. understood one thing. In the end of the process, he understood two things. He understood two things that Joseph understood. He told his brothers, what you meant for evil, God turned around for good. So he understood after he finished the process, he understood the process because this is for the glory of God
right.
that what he went through. Because he told the brothers, what you meant for evil, God turned around for good. And then Joseph learned another thing in the process. Joseph learned total forgiveness. Because Joseph totally forgave his brothers so much so that when Jacob showed up for the scene, he never told Jacob what his brothers did to him.
Wow.
So the process of what Joseph, at the time, he didn't understand the process. Like many believers are going to trial, tribulation, testings, you know, they're going through all this stuff. They don't understand why they're going through it. They say, I'm in God's perfect will. But Joseph was in God's perfect will too. And he went through what he went through. Right?
I never picked up on that, JR. JR, you're right. He never did tell him. Wow.
No, he never told his father, well, these crazy brothers are mine, and this is what they did to me. That's why I ended up here. He never told them, the father. He never complained or went out to lunch with Jacob. And his father, after he came back to Egypt, never told him anything that what the brothers did to him. You know, that's a sign of total forgiveness,
forgiveness.
Right? And then on the other side, he didn't know the process, but when everything was revealed to Joseph by God, he told the brothers, "What you meant for evil, God turned around for good." He understood that he had to go through what he had to go through to be where he is at in order to bring salvation, to his people, right? Because if it wasn't for Joseph, they would all starve.
Yeah, that's a good point you brought up, JR. When someone is constantly talking about what was done to them, it's probably a sign of unforgiveness more so than forgiveness.
That's a sign of still unforgiveness. That's a sign of still unforgiveness because the person still haven't really released the people. You know, Joseph did total forgiveness. And I understand sometimes people share their testimonies, say, I went through this. That's okay. But if you go around telling people what people did to you, then have you really forgave them? Not really.
Good point. There's a whole message right there with that Joseph, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the truth behind Joseph. you know, and I think Joseph is an awesome example. Joseph was a type of Jesus in the Old Testament. Joseph got sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus got sold for 30. You know,
a lot of prophetic foreshadows.
Yeah, back and forth. You see a lot of resemblance. So the whole thing is, you know, I think that in Joseph's story, you know, the takeaway is total forgiveness and trusting God in the process.
Good word there. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Did he answer you, Alan?
Yes, he did. And there's one other verse that I would appreciate your commenting on, and it's I forget what it is, but it's brethren, think it not strange at the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening. And I see a lot of Christians, they, you know, either they wind up divorced, God forbid, or you look on Facebook and it looks like they don't have a care in the world. And either they're the greatest warriors ever, or, you know, they're not fighting the good fight. What do you have to say about that verse, fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing is happening?
I'm going through one now. I'm going through my eyesight. Right? My eyesight happened in January. We're in June. I'm still fighting the fiery trial, the fiery darts from the enemy for my eyesight that occurred.
Awesome, Lord.
That occurred in my life in January. I had two eye surgeries. My last surgery, my first surgery was on my last day of fasting, my 21 day of fasting. Then after that, I had another surgery after that. You know, I've been fighting my you know, to get my vision back. The fiery darts, I've been fighting the devil since January, right? So what that says, you know, I mean, that says to me that, you know, God is bringing me deeper to bring closeness, to bring intimacy, to bring communion with Him, and to bring a personal bond with God. Because, you know, that's, I believe that, you know, the only way we see God when the fiery dart shows up. How are you going to be a strong Christian if you're not tested? How are you going to be a strong believer if you don't, if you're not proven, right? It's like saying,
there you go.
Someone goes to a martial art class and he becomes a black belt, but if you go in the street, you don't test it, how do you know it works?
Amen.
Right. It's experience, right? Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of videos on YouTube of fake masters and getting exposed. And yeah, may we not get exposed, because may we be real. Amen.
Yeah, wow. I mean, you can kick this punching bag all you want, but, you know, I mean, you can have like Manny Pacquiao. I love Manny Pacquiao. He can punch a punching bag all he wants, but he ain't going to win no championship if he don't get in the ring.
I'll fight him.
Right? So the truth be told, if the Christians are not tested, how could you know that you have substance?
That's right, Alan.
Amen.
We go through things.
It's all there, my brother. But anyway, my brother, it's...
Well, JR, wait a minute. Are you going to be upstate in Buffalo?
I'm going to Buffalo. I'm leaving tomorrow, preaching Saturday. The place where that event is sold out. So my first time to Buffalo, and this is my first time there to preach, and thank God.
Praise God.
Again, God is good. He brings people from everywhere, and I'm blessed for the people that invited me, and I'm blessed to be there and really share the battlefield with
John, do you have 60 seconds for one more question?
All right, brother. One more question? What is this?
This guy's out of control.
Well, I was a church mouse before, so now I've been provoked by Richard.
He had no questions. Now he's like...
What would you say to aspiring writers? What would you say to them?
I think that's a good question, my brother. Thank you so much. I think that's a good question. I think that I could tell people it's really be led by the Holy Spirit, what you write, right? I mean, because I don't consider myself an author. People say you're an author. I don't know. I guess I don't consider myself to be an author. I've written 7 books. I've really been written really by the grace of God, what the Holy Spirit has downloaded in my spirit. I put it on paper, but also understand that whatever you are going to write, whatever book God gives you, make sure it's His book. Make sure He's telling you what to put on paper, because if you're doing it on your own, and then you won't touch nobody. But if you do it by God's hand and by God downloading your spirit, you turn the world upside down for Jesus. Mm.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, John.
Because my book no right now, and it's okay. I said this. The last thing to say is, the books that are out there that got my name on it, you know, it was all by the Holy Spirit from beginning to end. I had A in lunch and I had A in gym. The rest was F. So I can put an essay together, but when God decides to do something, He take the weakest person, the unreliable. He'll take the misfit. He take the one that really, you know, is not, you know, educated to the highest level, and he'll use them. He'll write a masterpiece. And
that's right.
My book's out there. Even today, my book's out there. Everywhere I go, people are saying, your book has changed my life. Your book has done this for me.
Great,
this
book great has done that books, for me. Yeah.
And all because I allowed the Holy Spirit to use my hands to do the writing.
Amen.
Amen.
And more is coming. Amen. And more.
And more. I have a book coming out now, actually, in October. I have one book that came out. It came out, I think, about a month ago, less than a month ago. I think about less than a month ago. It's a spiritual warfare devotional, prayer devotional. It's called Comeback Prayer to Crush the Enemy. It just came out like 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Everybody got like 63. It has 63 five-star review.
Right? Nice.
And then my book, Destroying Fear, is out there. But now my book, Destroying Fear, been out probably over a year ago. It got 1,405 reviews, five stars, in Amazon. So I wrote that book before COVID-19 came out. You know, right. And what I'm saying with that is I have a book coming out. It's called,
Good
it's
timing,
called Conquering
man.
Your Deliverance. It's called Conquering Your Deliverance. It'll be out in October of this year. Amazing book, 17 chapters, something about 56,000 words. It's not a big book, 56,000, 17 chapters, but it's crazy anointed of conquering your deliverance. And a lot of Christians, and I finish with this, we don't conquer the battle. We fight the battle, but we don't conquer it. And then the battle come back 6 months later because we never conquer our enemy.
Mm. Interesting, yeah.
One thing to win the battle.
Take the head off.
And then you end up, one thing to win the battle, and then you have to come back and fight another day, the same battle. And one thing is to conquer it and never look back.
Amen. Preach it. Amen.
That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible makes it clear. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Not battle winners.
Yeah.
We are more than conquerors. That means it's a difference between a battle win, that the enemy will come back another day and fight you again. Or you conquer the battle and you destroy the enemy and the door's closed and he'll never come back again, but you conquer that blessing, you conquer that battle.
Amen.
Amen.
Good word there. Praise God, you know? JR. Thank you.
Well, so that's coming October. I think it's an Amazon.
Can't wait.
People can pre-order. People can pre-order it on Amazon. I think it's up there for pre-orders and whatnot. So, but anyway, my brother, I'm going to get going. Get some rest.
Thanks for coming on Watch Your Radio.
We're going to be doing more. We're going to be letting people know when we get closer to the opportunity to release that spiritual warfare, self-deliverance man.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Right, thank
brothers,
you.
Amen.
God bless you, JR.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless you.
All right, that was JR, people. All right, so he was all the time I was calling him and he wasn't answering is because it said unknown, because I was calling him from Skype. He was expecting my number. So, but,
yeah, he gets all these prank callers, so.
Yeah, because I've given his number out to people. I actually did. You know, remember that Boger, that one? What's her name?
Which one? We got so many.
What was her name? Anyway, we got, what was I going to say? Saturday, we're going to have to test this stuff out because I sent him the Zoom link and it never came on that he was here. So you think, you know, maybe I don't get it. I texted it to him.
Wait, was that a Skype conversation or a Zoom conversation?
That was Skype. The Zoom, you saw what happened. He never connected. And then, to add to it, he didn't connect when I called him because it said unknown because I was calling him from Skype. And when you use the regular, you know, phone on Skype, it doesn't have a number showing up. No big deal. We had some technical issues there. And Zoom... If Russ Dizdar is using Zoom on Saturday, you know, I guess we're going to have, me and Alan are going to have to make sure it works for Russ Dizdar. Russ Dizdar has got a wild message on. I want to play the audio, but it's so freaky, I don't know if I should play it. He was threatened by a satanic cult. I think I'll let him explain it, but the cult is pretty weird, man. But I have the audio of the threat.
What? That was the strangest MP3 I ever heard in my life.
Did I send it to you?
Wild. Yeah, you sent it to me, and I thought, wow, this is wild and freaky.
Okay,
and
yeah, I'm not going to play it on the air because it's too creepy. I don't know. But it's strange. But the threat is there, and he's going to explain it on Saturday. It's not the first time he's been threatened. Russ Dizdar's ministry, pretty powerful, dealing with satanic cults and getting people out of the cult. SRA, they call them. So he's on Saturday at 2 p.m.
But we have to make sure that ritual abuse is that SRA.
Yeah, we got to make sure that Zoom is working because we had some issues here today. By the way, we got to get a new computer. This computer is like old. So Watcher Radio has been shut down for years, and as you know, we always broadcast on shortwave, which I plan on going back on. We're going to be going back on shortwave. However, until then, we're using just a digital format, and I have Zoom hooked up. It's just that I think with Zoom and two Skypes and the conference room, I think the buffer is just overloaded. I don't know. Once we get a bigger computer, I don't think it'll be a problem. But
amen.
We got to test it for Russ Dizdar on Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss that broadcast. Brother JR will be back soon on Watcher Radio. And as you know, we got that book coming out, which is going to be a blessing. So with that being said, we will be returning when?
Saturday, 2 p.m.
Saturday, 2 p.m., guys. So the Lord loves you. We love you. But the Lord loves you a lot more than we love you.
Amen.
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 But we do love you. So we're saying good night, and we'll see you on Saturday, 2 p.m. Alan,
God
I'll talk
y'all.
At you soon. All right.
God bless
God
you.
God bless y'all.